good afternoon. And today on the Lizzian Events podcast, we've got a very popular guest indeed. And who am I talking to?
Claudine West.
Claudine West, the musician extraordinaire. And Claude, your last podcast enjoyed so far 140 plus full listens. How good is that?
Wow, that's amazing.
It is, but I noticed as well that you'd extensively shared it across the social media streams. I saw it on Twitter a few times, so that's nice because that'll encourage strangers to come to Lizzian Events podcast. Thank you very much indeed.
That's good. I mean, there's lots of strangers with lots of time on their hands, I believe, so that's a good thing.
Apart from you, of course, who is a frontliner with the National Health Service.
Frontliner working from home liner, yeah.
I know. You said, I just think we'll have a little bit of an insight here. You told me last week that actually working from home is more pressure than the busy office.
Yeah, because it's like I haven't got the eyes on the wards because I run a team of people at the City Hospital and we top up stock and order stock for wards and use little handheld PDA devices which are programmed. And it's very hard to, even though we're asking other staff that are actually on the front line to tell us what they need. It's not as easy as you think. I think they've realised that as well, that our service is quite a nip in, a storeroom, scan it, nip out. And so, yeah, it's been challenging, to say the least, and also looking after other end users in the hospital that we don't directly manage.
So, and so now they realise your importance.
Well, I think they realise it's not as easy as I think it was. So, yeah, it's back office stuff. I mean, as long as when I first joined the NHS, I didn't realise what went on behind closed doors. And you always think it's just about nurses. It's not. It's all admin and back office staff that do things that no one realises what we do. So, yeah.
Yes, I knew somebody who was a technician in the RAF and he told me that it takes about 60 people to get a frontline aircraft in the air. So the pilot and the aircraft are only a small part of the parcel. And I suppose that's the same with your job.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big procurement team at NUH, and, you know, hi to everybody if you're listening, and they work very hard, and they're working extremely hard from home at the moment to procure things. So, yeah, it's difficult for them all, yeah.
So, Claude, today we are going to be talking about making
music.
Excellent. So the listener must know that my lovely friend Claude started to play music at a very young age. In the last podcast, she mentions it. But Claude, can you give us a little bit of an insight into how a person with all this time on their hands may begin to play perhaps an instrument? Because surely there's never a better time.
I mean, with instruments, it does take time and practice. Are we talking about making something that you find around your house, or say?
Well, let's come on to that in a moment, Claude. But okay. just let's go into the difficulty of learning. I mean, I would think that there's very few houses in this country that hasn't actually got a musical instrument that's been purchased and sadly now sits in the corner. You wouldn't know it, but I'm quite a keen guitarist, and one of my most therapeutic things is just playing a few chords and just finger picking a few chords. It doesn't necessarily have to be creative or sound like anything, but just for that 5 or 10 minutes each day, just playing with the chords, it's quite a therapeutic thing. So we reckon that there's quite a number of musical instruments that are in people's homes, and they may use this time to resurrect them. What do you think?
I think it's a brilliant idea, because I think people do get a bit disheartened if they pick something up and they can't play it like they see other people play it. And spending that time, I mean, especially things like with guitar, a lot of people have second-hand or guitars lying around, and just learning chords, basic chords, I found when I first started off, you've got a whole, if you're listening to this, you've got access to the internet. There is such a plethora of teaching, free teaching things on YouTube, or you can Google things just to just learn what your major chords, your minor chords are, and just find those positions with your fingers. And that's how, and it's just perseverance. It hurts when you're putting your flesh on metal strings initially, and people get a bit dissuaded because they're like, oh, it hurts. But you've got to just get through that hole in your tips of your fingers and carry on and just learn. It's just learning, and it's enjoying it. And those vibrations are very good for the soul, of even just strumming some open strings. So I think it's just spend that time. And you know, some people have got pianos as well. Well, pianos at the dance, which I mean, probably upset your neighbours, but have a tinkle, you know.
I agree. I mean, people wouldn't realise if they even know the song, but the song Horse With No Name by America is just one chord. The whole of that song is one chord. Do, 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 do. Sorry about that. But it's one chord. And if you research it, most of Mark Bolan's T-Rex was just two chords. So don't think that you need to know a plethora of chords. If you just knew A, D, E and E minor, you could fire up some great tunes. Do you think, Claude?
Oh, definitely. I mean, what is it? D, C and G. That's a lovely rundown. Very popular things. You can promote like an A minor, what do you argue, like A minor and D. There's loads. You should play around with them. Mix your minors and your majors. See what sounds good. And I read something about there's like certain chord structures that you can mess around that loads of bands have used the same ones. I mean, I remember a band Counting Crows I'm a big fan of, and they did one song that was really upbeat, another song that was a ballad, and it exactly the same chords, but they sound so different. So you can mix and match and put different melodies and lyrics and things over the same thing and make it completely different.
And if you're playing the guitar, you can actually get away with one string and two string chords as well, can't you? Those open chords are quite nice.
Yeah, I mean, you can retune. There's loads of different tunings for guitars as well. And I don't think Keith Richards at Rolling Stones, I think he tunes it differently because he's got a certain form of arthritis and he only plays with a few fingers. So he tunes his guitar appropriately. You don't have to research.
Yeah, he loves Dad Gad, doesn't he? He loves that tuning, yeah. Drop tuning. And I think somebody told me that he sometimes does D-A-D-A-D-A, which is quite an interesting string structure. But there's books and books on it, isn't there? Absolutely fantastic. Oh. Right, so let's go into it. So somebody's got a guitar or a ukulele or something in their room. How long each day do you think they ought to practice for, Claude?
I think start off with 20 minutes, get your fingers used to it, then see how much you're bleeding afterwards. give it a few days, let the ends of the tips of your fingers harden, and they may start to pale a bit. It depends what time you've got, but I think every day dedicate yourself for the first week, 20, 30 minutes, and just build it up. I don't play every single day. But when I was a teenager learning my instruments, I did play all the time. Mm. And sometimes when I get sidetracked with work and busy other things, I think, what am I neglecting? And I'm neglecting playing the things that bring me the most joy. So I have to go and step back into it and touch them all and play them and things. And it's amazing. So, yeah, just dedicate yourself to that little bit of time. You know, is it 28 days to form a habit?
It most certainly is. It most certainly is. I mean, what people don't realise, I'll just give people an idea. There are classical guitarists, I like classical guitar, who will literally work for 2 to 3 years on one piece to perfect it. And they start off by learning a bar, and when they know that bar, they go on to the next, and they just keep building it up like a waterfall of music, and that's how it works. So you don't necessarily have to think about learning a phenomenal tune in one go, because as you said, it's one of the biggest hurdles, isn't it? People think they haven't got to learn how to use the instrument. They just think they're going to be able to play. It's not that easy, Claude, is it?
No, I mean, I don't do cover versions, but learning a famous song or a song that you really like, there's plenty of simple guides. Even on guitar, you can just Google the guitar chords and practice along to it. It just takes time. And you've just got to be dedicated. All I can reiterate is you don't get anything in this life without putting effort in. And you've got to put that effort in and persevere. And it's perseverance for being a musician. I mean, I'm, you know, 20, 30 years in, and I'm still on the kind of cusp of being the expert in my instruments. I make it up as I go along all the time. Luckily, my fingers still wiggle and they still do things. And luckily, things I touch, the work and the play things. And I don't know a lot of theory behind it. I just play them. And if it sounds nice and it matches the other instrument, then it's great.
So. Yeah. And people should really get that into their mind. There is no problem with just playing with the music. There's no problem with just finding something and just tapping out a tune. So we are saying that we have, millions of us, the most incredible opportunity to learn to play an instrument. May not necessarily be brilliant, but you certainly, with YouTube and everything else, you've certainly got the opportunity to perhaps learn a tune or two and follow Claude's guidance. 15, 20 minutes each day and build that up. And I would say within a month, you may well have the semblance of a song, Claude.
Yeah, I mean, there's people that will literally teach you how to play piano on YouTube. You'll just watch an episode a day. And, you know, even if you touch all the white keys on a piano, just play it up and down with them, you'll hit a tune. It's really is about what does sound good, what sounds nice, what fits together, and just let your creativity flow.
So let's not lose this opportunity. So what do you think? Don't lose the opportunity?
Yeah, don't lose the opportunity. Take the opportunity. You know, a lot of people have got time. And even after all this awful thing that's happening at the moment, it's finished, take that time out. 20 minutes, what is it? Watching, you know, Coronation Street or what, even though that probably stopped filming now. But it's take that time out of your day. 20 minutes, what's that to you? It's nothing.
God, if they put that COVID storyline into Coronation Street and the rest of it, all half the cast will die, won't they? I mean, they can't resist it, can they?
No, because they always have to have a massive Christmas special tragedy, don't they, on these sites?
They do, they do. We're terrible, anyway. Okay, so you got some kids, right. I'm going to put you onto the spot. This is a 10 out of 10 question, so prepare yourself, hang on to the microphone and think about it. 10 out of 10 question. So we've got a house. Somebody's listening to Claude West talking about music now. And if you want to hear how good Claude's music is, just get onto iTunes. Which iTunes is it, Claude?
So if you go onto any of these streaming things, you can go onto and just type Earth Tree Healing and you will find
some fantastic music. Bit of a plug there. So don't underestimate who you're listening to. This is a girl with a lot of musical ability. So I'm going to put you on the spot. Here's a spot. In the house, and I'm imagining that I've got Tristan, Alice, and we've got Bella, and we've got all the girls there, and they're all thinking, what are we going to do? What music are we going to make? So you've got my house. You've never been in it. But, you know, there's all sorts of things that you could perhaps use for musical instruments. What would you start with?
Well, we're going to go back to my childhood of before my parents bought me instruments, what Claude did. So a lot of it you can find on the internet. And you've got to hunt around now. You've got to be inventive and look for things. So have you got elastic bands? Have you got cereal packets? Have you got tins? Have you got rice, peas and beans? Because out of that, you've got something you can twang and you've got something you can shake.
And that's brilliant.
You've got your percussion section and you've got a bit of strumming going off as well. So we're going to go, Kinder eggs. Yeah, you can use a Kinder egg little shells as well. So,
oh yeah, maracas. Make maracas out of Kinder, yes.
And lollipop sticks, stick them on. I mean, if you've got a glue gun, you're on a winner here. But
oh, God, yeah.
So you can make out of paper plates, I think you can make like a banjo thing where you put elastic bands over the paper, like two paper plates to make it strong, or plastic plates. Don't go ruining your parents' crockery and other things. But it's basically attaching elastic band, cut it in half, elastic band, and bring it over an open space, whether that be a box, whether it be a cereal packet with a hole in it. You've got to have the hole for the acoustics, and stretch it, attach it, and you've got some little twang. It'll make some kind of, you know, a guitar-esque noise. And then we go for the raiding the cupboards with lentils, rice, peas, put them in something, metal if you can find it, make a shaker, put it in a toilet roll tube, put sellotape on the ends of it, anything, you know, it's an experiment, make some percussion. Margarine tubs, I started off when I was dreaming of wanting a drum kit from my mum and dad bought me a little child's one. I used to get all the margarine tubs out and bang them, you know, with like wooden spoons. So it's anything that will make a noise, really.
And so we'll start off with the percussion. So I'm going to tap the mic so that people know what it's all about. Because one thing that is worth considering right at the word dot, you don't have to know anything about music, is beats, isn't it? So if you go one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four, and you've actually then got a beat that you can follow in your mind. So if the percussionist starts tapping out a rhythm, then other people can start to get into the beat. That's why people say, isn't it, one and two and three, and they go into the music. So let's get Claude to talk a little bit about rhythm. So we're going to let one of the kids be the percussionist. How are you going to tell them to, what are they going to tell them to do?
So we're going to do a kind of bit of a mix up here with, you'll get the like one, two, three, four. You'll get one of the kids hitting it on one and three on something. And then you can get the other kid hitting it on two and four. So you can have someone counting one, two, three, four in the background while you've got different instruments that they're hitting, kind of creating something a little bit different.
So let's get it clear for somebody listening. So you're going to get somebody who's counting, who's going to go one and two and three and four, and one of the percussionists will make a noise on one and three, and the other will make a noise on two and four. Is that where we're going? Great. So now we're making music all of a sudden. Sorry, Ange, keep on. Sorry, Claude, keep on going.
Yeah, so we've got that, and then we can also use hand claps. There's also like one, so you get like one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four, and you just like mess it about a bit and see what people can invent. I mean, there's that famous thing of, you know, people that do drumming circles, it's the most out of kind of time thing going off ever with some of them that they do. And let people experiment with rhythms. People listen to rhythms all the time in the day-to-day, what music they listen to, and let them invent something.
So you'd recommend people then start to, would you say to give them a helping hand, perhaps listen to simple music on the net, or just listen to a tune that they know, or perhaps they could all think about a simple song like Happy Birthday to You, and they could actually break that down and start to play it?
While they're washing their hands for 20 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. So, yeah, it is. But so you could actually get the kids to, you know, literally put a using own made instruments, you could actually get them to do an ensemble of Happy Birthday, couldn't you? An ensemble of their favourite nursery rhyme. I know Andy Button, who I used to mess about with the guitar with just now and again, he said to me, when I started to play, I didn't know anything about it, but somebody wise counsel said to me, start to learn to play your nursery rhymes and just to use two or three chords or two or three strings to play your nursery rhymes. But the key is, isn't it, to become reasonably apt at music is actually being able to interpret what you hear and transmitting that into the instrument you're playing. And if you can do that eventually, especially when you're young, you can truly begin to play by ear.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just the more you do something, the better you become it, and the more you're hearing and your brain will recognise what that is. I mean, some people are born with the ability to, you know, you say, do a note, the note A, and they'll be able to make that tune in the key of A. And it's just people, and it, the thing that's opening it up, I think, and everyone's got the ability to do and make music. It's just keep playing it. I think it's if you're, you know, you're doing a painting, keep practicing with art and you can become better and better at drawing and things. And it's the same with music. You've just got to get those fingers moving and open your mind up to different music, listen to different genres. If you're not, you know, I'm not a massive fan of opera, but I'll listen to it, and I'm sure I've learned things subconsciously on the, you know, opera kind of music.
And if people are beginning to get into the vibe with this and make a bit of music using a tin can full of peas or beating away at the bleach bottle that's being tapped with a stick or whatever it is, whatever music they're making, you'd, I'd be happy for them to record it on their phones and send it in and see what they've created with it for it.
Yeah, I mean, we're living in a day and age. Oh, there's also things that you can blow, like you can fill a bottle of water and you can do different notes with that. And, yeah, there's tunes that you can create with pipes. And I mean, don't go in people's houses and, you know, the pipes and things, but there's things that you can find lying around your garden, and just to make a tune, there's a whole jam session going off. But yeah, so I mean, we are living in a day and age of mobile phone technology where you literally will have a recording studio on your phone. There's so many free apps that you can download.
Yeah, and it's quite an important thing as well to record what you're playing, and if people listen to it, that gets them more enthusiastic.
Yeah, I mean, we in the band, I mean, we record our rehearsals not only on video but on the sound. What is it? What the iPhones? We've got the sound recorder. Mm. What's it called? Voice memos. Mm. And you get, I mean, I've gone out and recorded when I was in Glastonbury a few years ago, in an eco pod. And I went out and recorded the bird song on my iPhone, and that actually features on the song Glastonbury. You know, I've recorded ideas when I'm out and about, or it's just the sound of the waves, and that's featured on songs. And it's just utilise what you've got, depending on what, there's all different phones out there. They all will have a voice recorder on it, and record it and get those ideas down.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you ever listened to Jesus' Blood Has Never Let Me Down?
No.
Well, while we're talking, I'm going to see if I can dial that up and we can just have a quick listen to it. It's called Jesus' Blood Has Never Failed Me Yet. And I'll just play a bit of it and you'll get a gist of it. And what it is, it's a recording of a tramp who is just singing a tune. And what he's singing is this. And let's see what you think.
Blood never failed me yet. This one thing I know. Jesus' blood never found me, yes, never found me, yes, Jesus' blood never found me, yes, this one thing I know, holy God. Blood never found me, yes, never found me, yes, blood never found me, yes, this one thing I know, holy God, Jesus' blood never found
me. Interesting.
It's Gavin Bryars with Tom Waits, and it's the man is a tramp, and I think Gavin Bryars came out of a nightclub one night in the mid-70s, and he heard this tramp just literally singing that, Jesus' blood's never failed me yet, and he recorded it, and it was raining when he did it. So when you listen to the whole of the track, he's just singing it, but very few people get it, because do you know what? The Jesus' blood he's talking about?
No.
It's wine. The wine of the communion. Wine has never failed me yet.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the guy's a drinker and alcoholic, and he says, Jesus' blood's never failed me. So when you go to the communion, they say the blood of Christ, don't they? And they give you a sip of wine, and that's what it's all about. Yeah. How evocative is that? You know, so what we're saying is you can record all sorts of things. You, as you did at Glastonbury, you could record... you could record some bird noises in your garden. You could record your grandma talking on the phone. You could record your dad talking about his work, and you could record all sorts of things, situations, and then you could make your own music to it.
Yeah, I mean, I went to Pagan Tribal Gathering, a festival last year, and everyone was like dancing around the fire, banging their instruments, and I recorded a lot of that soundtrack. I've not used it yet. It's still there, but I'm thinking, can I use it on some kind of track as a kind of tribal rhythm thing? But yeah, just opportunity knocks all the time with what you hear. And you've got like so much, honestly, the phones are so amazing compared to what we used to have. I mean, what do you use when you're out on the field recording? You use certain...
Well, I've got a bit sophisticated, as you know, but for years I used, for majority of work at the shows and things, I used a Marantz 661 recorder, which is like the pinnacle of journalist tools, fantastic quality. I mean, if you've listened to any of the recordings that I've made at the shows, they're absolutely knockout. And they are used by many, many professional journalists the world over, because they're just like a solid brick. All you do is they just record voices. There's very little else they do. But now I use my iPhone with software called Hindenburg, and in fact all the podcasts that we record using Hindenburg Pro, which is a very expensive software, but it has all sorts of incredible qualities to it, such as the quality of the sound, the ability to interface with people on Skype, etc. But also, I use that software. There's a thing called Hindenburg Field, which goes onto my phone. And so all the recordings that I now do, basically, I record on my phone using a good interface microphone. And what is absolutely marvellous about it, Claude, is once I've done the recording, I just plug it into Hindi on my computer and it just goes bang, and the whole thing just goes straight on, and the quality is knockout. So you're right. I mean, some years ago, I knew quite well Mark Licklier, who was the bass player with ABC, and he was saying that when they recorded Lexicon of Love, the studio has got like 200,000 quid worth of mixing decks in it and whatever. And I remember he said to me some years ago, he said, you can do better quality now with a 500 quid Zoom mixer. Amazing thought, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we did many years ago. I worked with a musician. He's no longer with us, bless him. And we did this one, it was like joke songs in between the serious songwriting at his home studio. And I did this song about, dare I say it, it's to do with poo and plopping. And I had to do a plop noise. And I thought, what could we do? And we got some potatoes out of the kitchen. And we got this really long mic lead, took it to his downstairs toilet. I was like, press record. And they're like, threw this potato to get the ultimate plop noise. I ended up blocking the toilet. We were like, get this out of the toilet. Brilliant effect for the song. I've not released these. Well, I have released on Bandcamp, but we were like, oh my God, we've ruined the plumbing system.
Oh my goodness me. I can imagine the plumber. I suppose the plumber must have, his eyes must have been a bit strange.
It was a desperate drain blocker.
Good. I'll tell you what, this is good fun, isn't it? So expand your mind and don't make music necessarily be an instrument. You can make your own instrument, and you can then really put ideas together where perhaps you were recording somebody's voice, recording a sound outside and listening to it, and then just tap away.
Yeah.
And away you go, and all of a sudden you're making music, because the moment that you start making music, magic definitely happens.
Yeah, I mean, there's endless possibilities. I mean, you've got 12 notes on a musical scale, 12, and there's so many different possibilities just of that, on an instrument, but rhythmically you can just fly away with it, and you can go around clanging on posts that you're not allowed in the street now because you're not allowed out, but you can just bang things in your garden, and there's different tones, different sounds of anything. So, and you can get these little apps on your phone that are literally multi-track recorders, so you record like one thing and that will play in the background, then it will loop and you can do it into a new thing, and it will just build up and build up. It's amazing.
Good. So I'll repeat it, because we've got this opportunity of time, and people might become bored and they've got kids, and one of the great things to do is to use what you've got available to make music. They certainly do in Africa.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. But I mean, we did with our nephews in Portsmouth, every birthday and Christmas we bought them things, the noisiest things we possibly could. Bang,
so like, you're a popular aunt.
Yeah, and they seem to have all gone missing. I'm sure their mum will find them somewhere eventually, where she's hidden them. But yeah, we used to get them clanging and banging as much as not making as much noise. I remember, was it an eye-watering Christmas dinner, and Jack was playing that bell, and it was it's just ringing that bell non-stop when we bought him. But yeah, I mean, African instruments is amazing things that they're, you know, djembes and things that they create out of skins and
kalimbas.
Yeah. I've got one.
I've got a kalimba as well. I like my kalimba. Interesting, Portsmouth. The great Joe Jackson's a Portsmouth boy, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. Two famous, fantastic writers. Mind you, Joe Jackson, what a fantastic writer. And a lot of people don't realise, but he's very formally trained as a musician. His book about his life is simply amazing, and it must be something to do with the but he said that one of the main reasons he became a musician and succeeded so well, because he was very badly bullied at school, and he used to live in fear of going home because the bullies were waiting for him. So he said when he went back, being quite famous, that everything changed, and he still lives there, you know.
Well, I think there's something to say for kids that get bullied, because I mean, I didn't have the best of times with sometimes at school, and I threw myself into learning music, and and it kind of helped me in a lot of ways, just isolate myself and learn instruments more than going out being a street urchin and hanging out with other kids. And I wasn't really allowed out because my mum and dad were very protective. I wasn't allowed off the street, so it was a learning. So what do they do? I learn instruments.
Interesting. Yeah, but see, the thing is, here we've got another really fantastic aspect of this podcast, isn't it? If you're listening to this and you've got a child that's perhaps a little bit lonely or perhaps in a little bit of difficulty, maybe if they just listen to it and they think about the possibilities of becoming a musician, it's quite phenomenal, isn't it? I mean, not everybody cracks that nut of fame. There's no two ways about that. But you can really get yourself into a vibe, because there's something fantastic about musicians. I mean, there are some of them are a little bit aloof, the succeeders are, but the camaraderie between musicians, when I look at the videos with Stinking Rita, I mean, there's got to be a diversity of people in that band. They're not all the same, and the blend together is just phenomenal. So music's got a very important side effect, hasn't it? It helps people find friends, Claude.
It does, and I've met so many good friends over the decades, and met so many interesting people through music. Even if it's backstage at a gig, backstage at a festival, when you've got a beautiful, like, you know, really, we tend to kind of watch people's sets. I don't just like disappear off to the beer tent, and I like to watch bands. I like to watch support acts, and I like to not come across as a stalker, but I like to say, oh, I really enjoyed what you played, and have a little chat with them if I can of bands. And I've met some of my heroes along the way, but just meeting, you know, fellow musicians and just having a chat about what they do and what instruments they like, and it's really cool. I love it. It's so nice, and you can pick up and learn so much of, you know, watching musicians. I mean, a lot of people go to a gig and dance. I just stand there very still a lot of the time, and I watch and I listen, It's not about the dancing for me. It's about the musicianship and the sound for me. That's why I get my kicks at watching bands.
Do you Do you find yourself watching their chord patterns on the guitar and things of that nature?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like, especially I watch drummers. Being a drummer myself, I watch kind of what rhythms they're playing, and I do look at what pedals they've got. If they're electric guitarists, how they're playing things. I mean, we saw that Lorena McKennitt in Newcastle a few years ago, absolutely heroin in mind of doing new age music and stuff. And I always remember taking it, she was playing the harp and the piano during this set, and she didn't have one swig of water. She had the most crystal clear voice, and she's not even had one drink throughout this like hour and a bit set she played. It's like, wow. And that sort of thing amazed me. I just study it. I study how they do it, you know, the vibes that they create. Because as a musician, as a performing musician, you don't want to be stood there not entertaining the crowd, if you know what I mean. You've got to have that vibe and entertain yourselves with that vibe, as well as projecting that to the audience.
Yeah, I can remember when AD Button had the Hobgoblin store on Derby Road in Nottingham. I used to potter in there now and again. He's a great, great guy, and he's a fantastic musician. And one day I walked in, because I used to take in some cakes, and we used to sit and eat cakes. And I don't tell anybody about this, by the way. Sit and eat cakes and have a cup of coffee. And then this music from upstairs started to play. My God, it was unbelievable. This guitar music. First it was gypsy jazz, and we're really talking about Danjo Reinhardt, bang on gypsy jazz, which lasted for about 8 or 9 minutes. Then he swings straight over to blues music, then some contemporary rock, and then this guy went back to gypsy jazz, and then he picks up a classical guitar and plays classical music like you could die for. And it was Johnny Dickinson, the Geordie folk player, who Liz absolutely loved. We've been to see Johnny Dickinson a few times. He's just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant guy. And I said to Aid, God, that's absolutely incredible. And he said, this was Aid Button said, I think you've just been listening to probably one of the finest guitarists, if not in the world, definitely in Great Britain. He said, the man can pick anything up. Anyway, so Johnny Dickinson came down, and we got a couple of these free cakes. And I said, do you want one of these cakes? He said, yeah, we'll have one of these cakes and whatever. And I said, goodness me. I said, what a fantastic. I said, you've just given me 40 minutes of absolute, complete and utter pleasure. And he said, just by playing 5 or 6 minutes every hour when I was a child, he said, and then half an hour a day, he said, there's nothing special there. And I said, oh, what's your favourite guitar? He said, the trumpet. He said, I always wanted to play the trumpet. And I laughed, and he said, I'm not bloody joking. So, well, a great story, but very, very good. Have you ever heard Johnny Dickinson?
No, I'll have to make a note.
You'll have to look him up. Let's see if I can find him while we're talking. So this music thing's a big, big deal, isn't it? It's a big, big deal. It goes further, doesn't it, than creating music. It can be a friend. It can save you from bullying. It can do many, many things indeed, can't it? There's a bit more to this than just picking up a tune, isn't it? It's great.
I mean, for me, you know, I struggle handling my own stress. I probably put myself in stressful states through my day job or things. And it's always been throughout my life from, you know, even as early childhood, it's just been there as like the go-to thing that makes me feel really good. And making those tunes and even recording them on, you know, little four-track recorders and progressing up to where I am now, the home studio, where I can multi-track loads of different things and mess around with bits. It's just a joy. I mean, I can come up into our little tiny spare room in our house, which kind of works with as Anja's tarot room for her clients and my studio. And it's just, I just sit there for hours now, spend the whole day having cups of tea and forget to have lunch or anything and just tinker away, and something will just come out. And it's so blissful, and I feel like I've achieved something. Every time I've completed a track, I don't spend a long time on a track. I tend to do it within a day, with even if I, you know, get an acoustic guitar, messed around with that, then putting a piano on it or some synths, and it just builds, because I like to catch things in that moment. And even in bands I've been in, it's like, let's get it recorded live and, you know, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, and get it done so it's raw, so it's feeling the energies. And it's more spontaneous that way for me, I find.
You certainly achieve that with Stinking Rita, don't you? I mean, that's really raunchy, proper bluesy, strong stuff. I mean, it's a blend. It's an eclectic mix of different genres of music. It's fabulous, fabulous.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, is it Norville? I think he was a music teacher. He's retired. I think he was. He's a mystery. I need to ask him more questions. But I've known him for a few years, and he's very technically, you know, he knows his notes off, you know, really well, and his keys things. And we just, the rest of us just make it up as we go along. And it's just
good though, isn't it?
And like I said last time, it's like, we'll jam something out and it sounds brilliant, and then we'll try and rehearse it and we've forgotten what we've done. So we're trying, once we can all get back together, when we're allowed to play out again and not be grounded, that we can actually work on these structures a bit more. So we've got a basic structure, then we improvise around it. As long as you've got a start, a middle and end, you can do what the hell you like in the middle of it. I mean, we've got a harmonica player, Robert. He doesn't even need to rehearse. He comes to rehearsals because he loves the fun, I think, of it. And he just turns up, tell him what key it's, and he's like, away.
Brilliant.
And he just does it. It's amazing.
Would you like to listen to a bit of Johnny?
Yes. Yes.
Let's go for it.
Tell you what I do, go downtown and buy a Mercury or two. Cause she's just crazy about a move. I'm gonna buy me a Mercury, cruising up and down this road. Hey there, mama, you sure look fine. Cruising up and down in that Mercury 49. Cause she just crazy about it. I'm gonna buy me a Mercury, cruising up and down this road.
There's a bit of Johnny, get an idea of what he's like.
Yeah, that's some really cool vibes. Yeah.
Oh, he's absolutely knockout. He used to always say to Liz, "How you doing, Liz?" when we went to see him, he's an absolutely fantastic guy. But he's very, very, very much a musician's musician, I think, because. I noticed that there's a lot of people, when I used to mess about with music, I noticed that whenever he played in Nottingham, there were a lot of musicians in there watching him play. He's a proper musician, yeah. Musician. Good. So if you're going to create your music, you can keep it simple. Music has incredible ways of changing one's lives and bringing friends together. And musicians very, very rarely say no to other musicians, Claude.
No, and there's a lot of collaborations that go on between people, and you know, I've never been in it for the money. I've been in it all for the fame. That would always be lovely. That's the dream of idealness in some people's things, but it's about working with someone and connect. It's about the connection. And when I've been in like bands like the Idlings with Karen Smalley Turner, we had a very close friendship and working relationship in music. It just gelled in her kitchen. We used to get quite drunk, but we made some amazing music together for the time that we spent with that band. And you just got, it's that clicking, you just click with people, and it can be accidental. You can put people together deliberately and just work with stuff. I mean, there's Eyes and Moon that we did discuss last year to do some collaborations, because obviously I've met either through your wellbeing shows and things, and we will do something together and get it recorded and make something magical out of that. So
yeah, I think it. I mean, Isa, she's I've known Isa for quite some years now. She's a very unique musician, isn't she? She's so set on following her path, and when I know this is a strange thing to say, but when she's on song, when you listen to something when she's on song, it is absolutely captivating, isn't it? It really is marvelous music. And she has quite a broad spectrum of music that she plays as well, but it is really centered spiritual, isn't it? She has a great affinity with her spiritual self.
And the wonderful thing about your show, Blizzard Events, is the general public can get to meet her, watch what she does. You know, they don't have to go to a concert, they can actually watch her perform at the events, which is really, really nice. And like I said, more people should go out and see musicians play, grasp those opportunities, because it's amazing.
Well, I mean, the thing is, they also come along, and they definitely, people do come along to listen to yourself play as well. And I think that format we've got now, where there's a blackboard up and you just write on what time you're going to play and whatever, it just works so well. And you work so well with Isa, don't you, on that format. It's just brilliant. And I will put this out, if you listen to Isa's music and you listen to Claude's music, if you think you're near it and you want a place to come and do a couple of sets of half an hour or an hour, the only answer to it is just to come along to a Lizzie event show and talk to you have to talk to Claude though, and Isa, because they're in charge of all the music aspect of it. I mean, if ever the wellbeing shows got really, really took off, where they turned into something like a festival, you'd have to be dealing with Claude and Isa on all the stage work. See where you fit it in. Incidentally, I don't know whether you know, if the weather's good at the July show, if it runs, and I've got this, somewhere on the line, I've got this bit of a gut feeling it might. Up at the Lady Eastwood Centre, there's a lovely lawn with the most fantastic pavilion with power. So we might be using that for a bit of music, I think, as well as a stage inside. So bring your friends and have a barbecue. That's what I think. Mm. Right. We've covered a lot of distance here, and in our usual way, it's been a broad spectrum, a rainbow of a podcast, which I'm sure people will find entertaining and interesting. And don't underestimate what you've learned here. Can we have, Claude, a brief synopsis, just a few moments, just guide somebody where they'd start? Got a few kids, just let them, remind them how to start. Put a few instruments together, leave it with you.
So get your kids, get them on a little treasure hunt around the house. Part of the fun is them finding their own instruments and then going around the table making them. And it's getting testing out different designs with your shakers or your pipe things that you can blow, and bottles or plastic bottles or tubs, and get them all creating their own things. And then you've got your little band going off. And then it's literally starting that, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 rhythm, instructing them, like, you play that on the on beat or the off beat, which is like, you play 1 and 3, you play 2 and 4, have a little shaker, and record them, video them, get them to sing, do some humming. There's voices as well, even though it's not spoken about. You can get kids to do harmonies, tune up to that, and just record it. let them listen back, let people digest it. Well, what did that sound? You know, even if you're recording it for yourself, record something, even if it's a couple of chords on a guitar. You know, do it over and over and over again in time. And is there some lyrics? Is there something that's come to mind with a little melody for you? Record it. That's all I can say. Keep playing at it. Keep practicing. Enjoy it. The main thing is enjoying it and creating.
I can sense a music, well-being music workshop coming up here, you know. I think it could really, really work. I think a lot of people could come along. And I know we discussed it last year, didn't we, if somebody could come along and perhaps have a couple of hours and shovel a few pounds at Claude for a time, and she'd teach you just how to put that music together, and you'll walk away with a little bit of a tune that you've all created. Maybe I'd be in there with some recording equipment, and we could record the tune at the end of it, and they could all take that away, MP3. How about that for an idea?
Yeah, I'm sure I could bring some instruments for people to be playing. I've got my hand pan drum and various little things to do some rhythms as well.
Let's go for it. I think that's a fantastic idea. I think, and also, you know, you've made me think of something else as well. I think we better get some percussion instruments and things down on that kids' area, don't you? And so they can have only do some drawing, they can also do some music as well.
Yeah, kids love to make noise.
They do. So there we go. Lovely 1 hour podcast and talking to a most fantastic musician who I'm proud to have as a close friend and ally. There's nothing that Claude and Ange have never helped me with that I've ever asked, and I can only thank them for it publicly. I really do mean that. And I think that there's enough there for people to think about. I'll put a few comments onto the page where this podcast will be, and I'll snatch a few pictures of own made instruments to go on there as well. And I think we might take this a little bit further another time. Are you going to join me next week for another podcast, Claude? I know that Ange is. Ange and I are talking about we're talking about all sorts of things hocus pocus at the moment, and I think we're going to get quite a following on it because a lot of people like it. Incidentally, I think that the podcasts work being quite eclectic, from people like John and then Rick and ourselves and yourself, and I think this nice mix works well. What do you think?
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing, and I'm free on Saturday. Like people say, yeah, let's keep doing it
Definitely. I think that, and the more that we do, and I think that, you know, we could make them a little bit more formal, but I like the chatty side of it. I think it works well. So my lovely friend Claudine West, thank you so much, and thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.